This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today the title of our khutbah is Honor Your Neighbor. And this is a value that has remained since the earliest of prophets, to be good to your neighbor, to honor your neighbor, and to love your neighbor. And this value has remained within Islam. And there are many ayat and many ahadith that show the importance of taking care of your neighbor. If there's a hadith that is, for lack of a better term, very dramatic about the importance of the neighbor, that will be the one in Sahih Muslim, where Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing in a garden, so a garden or a meadow in al-Medina, and he was talking to this man. So Jabir radiallahu anhu did not recognize this man, has never seen him before. And the man kept talking and talking and talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then it's as if he would check with him, have you understood? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would nod. And then the man kept talking to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept nodding. And then he would speak to him again, and then the man, the Prophet ﷺ, would nod. And he continued for such a long time, to the point that Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, I thought to myself that I'll go and interrupt him. Yani I'll go to him and say, you've been talking to the Prophet ﷺ for too long, give him a break, or just finish up what you're saying. So to the point that I want to go and interrupt. And I considered doing it, but before I could do that, the man left. He finally finished talking to the Prophet ﷺ. So Jabir radiallahu anhu walked over to a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him that that was Jibreel, meaning Jibreel the angel came in the form of a man. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوصِي بِالْجَارِ, and Jibreel will continued to tell me about the importance of the neighbor and telling me to take care of the neighbor, حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرَّثُ, until I thought to the point that I thought that at the end of this conversation, Jibreel is going to tell me, and by the way, when someone dies, their neighbor inherits from them. Only family members inherit. But to the point that the Prophet ﷺ thought that he's going to end by telling me that the neighbor also inherits, since he is so important. Notice also in this narration that Jibreel, this entire long talk, it was one topic. It was just the neighbor. It wasn't like the neighbor and three other issues. The whole time, he's talking about the neighbor. And if that was the only narration we had, you would conclude that the neighbor is absolutely important in Islam. But obviously we have others. In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahi la yu'min, by Allah. He swears by Allah, he is not a true believer. He will not become a believer. Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Three times the Prophet ﷺ swore by Allah, he said he will not be a true believer. So then he explains who he's talking about. He said, "Man la ya'man jaruhu bawa'iqahu." And also correct the scholars say, to say, "Man la yu'min," yani yu'min. So they're, both of these are correct, different readings. But basically the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the one whose neighbor is not safe from bawa'iqahu, al-bawa'iq yani shar, the harm. So the Prophet ﷺ is swearing by Allah three times that he's not a believer, which means he's not a true believer, if your neighbor is not safe from your harm. If your neighbor is not safe from your harm, then you are not a true believer. And harm here can be you fighting with them, or having verbal altercations, or even spying and being nosy. And there are some people who said, we used to hide our groceries from our neighbor because the minute we pull up, he opens the window and then sees where we're shopping and what we're doing and what we bought. That's all part of the harm. So you see this also numerous times in the lives of the righteous before us, meaning their care and their attention to their neighbor. Mujahid narrates that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma once slaughtered a sheep, and then they had cut the meat, and he tells the servant, start with our neighbor first, even before his relatives, even before his friends. And this neighbor was a Jewish man. So before his Muslim friends, before his Muslim neighbors, before his family members, start with our neighbor first, give him meat first. And it didn't matter to him that whether he was Muslim or not. What mattered was that he's a neighbor and he has rights upon him. Al-Hasan al-Basri, the great scholar, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he used to say, لَيْسَ حُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ كَفُّ الْأَذَى لَيْسَ حُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ كَفُّ الْأَذَى. To be a good neighbor doesn't mean you don't harm your neighbor. That's not being a good neighbor. وَلَكِنْ حُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ الصَّبْرُ عَلَى الْأَذَى. He said, but being a good neighbor is being patient upon your neighbor's harm. So some think that just being a good neighbor means you don't have a fight or any quarrel or dispute with your neighbor that makes you a good neighbor. He's saying that's not being a good neighbor. Being a good neighbor is when you're being harmed by your neighbor and you're patient upon that. They're harming you and you're patient upon that. So anytime now, if your neighbor makes a lot of noise or plays music out loud or there's smoke that's coming and bothering you, we're so quickly to go and complain to them. Or we're so quickly to where some people just call the police immediately. And this was one of the things that is always amazing, that you can't even go and speak to your neighbor, but you call the police in order to tell them to lower the music or to keep the noise down. But let's see if the Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he practiced what he preached. He had a neighbor who lived above him, and the neighbor had an area in this home where the people would relieve themselves. So like it was almost like a bathroom. It's an area where they relieve themselves. But the way that area was structured is that the water, and by the water we mean the urine, would seep through and it would come down into the house of Al-Hasan al-Basri. And he never told his neighbor. He never complained to him. One day Al-Hasan al-Basri falls ill, so his neighbor comes to visit him. And when he enters the house, he sees this area of water dripping, and they're collecting it into a container. And the neighbor was surprised to see that, and he said, how long has this been going on? And Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, said, for 20 years. He said, for 20 years, and you've been patient upon this? And this man was a non-Muslim. And he tells him, yes, because, and this is where you plug the sponsor, يعني, you're doing something because of Islam, let them know it's because of Islam, not any other reason. So he said, yes, because our deen commands that we are good to our neighbors. And the man took his shahada right then and right there. Now, this is just a very high, just so we're clear, this is a very high standard of Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah. But there's absolutely nothing wrong Islamically to go and knock on your neighbor's door and just very politely to let them know that something is leaking into your home. Very politely, without it being a fight, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But he just went to the highest level of being patient with the harm and not even complaining to his neighbors. That's why that statement he said, لَيْسَ حُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ كَفُّ الْأَذَى. Being a good neighbor is not just not harming your neighbor, but it's being patient upon their harm. That's the higher level. That's why there's an Arabic saying that says, Al-jaru jar wa in jar. Al-jar, your neighbor, is jar, yani still your neighbor. Wa in, even though he might, jar hina bima'na ظلم يظلم يعني الظلم هو يعني لو قلت جار على أبناء قومه يعني ظلمهم. So your neighbor is still your neighbor even if he's unjust to you, even if he's unfair to you, he's still your neighbor, he still has that status. So a low level is just there is no harm, that you don't do any harm to your neighbor. Higher than that is that you don't do harm to your neighbor and you befriend them. Higher than that is that you're patient upon their harm. Higher than that, you're patient upon their harm and you're still their friend. And where would Al-Hasan al-Basri learn all this from? No doubt he learned it from the greatest teacher, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were his neighbors? One, his uncle, Abu Lahab. And the wife of Abu Lahab, Jamil, she would put, كانت تضع الشوك والأذى والقاذورات أمام بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلا ونهارا. She would put the thorns and harmful objects and trash in front of the house of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم night and day. She doesn't stop. Night and day she's putting these things. The other neighbor, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it, he is the one who came and spit at the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, strangled him once with a garment until he passed out. He is the one who put the camel placenta on his back eventually when he was praying in the Kaaba. His neighbors would throw trash into his home while he was there. They would throw trash into his home and the Prophet ﷺ would not do anything besides collect it. And he would yell out to them, he would say out so they can hear him, Ya Bani Abd Manaf, O sons of Abd Manaf, yani their ancestor, Ayyu Jiwarin Hada, Ayyu Jiwarin Hada. What kind of, هنا ما في كلمة بالإنجليزي هنا, there's not an accurate word in English. There used to be a word neighborship, but it's archaic. It's not used anymore. And neighborship would exactly mean jiwar, and which means any the relationship and the act of being a good neighbor. So he would say, what kind of neighborship is this, if we can use that term? So from the place of the neighbors, if a violation against a neighbor can be greater sin than doing it against someone else. In the hadith in Sahih Muslim, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, qala ya Rasulullah, ayyu dhanbi a'zam? Which of the sins is greatest?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An taj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqak." That you create an equal to Allah while He is the one who created you. Qultu thumma ay? I said, "Then what?" He said, "An taqtula waladak khashyata an yat'ama ma'ak." That you kill your child out of fear that he will eat with you. Yani out of the fact that he will cost you money, so you kill your child. قلت ثم أي, I said, then what? So notice what do we have the order here. We've got shirk, then we have murder, and then قلت ثم أي قال أن تزاني بحليلة جارك. That you commit zina with the halila of your neighbor. Meaning anyone that your neighbor is a mahram for. Your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's daughter, your neighbor's sister, your neighbor's aunt if she lives with them, your neighbor's mother. And it is even more haram than committing zina with anyone else from any other section or part of town. So because it's now a violation against your neighbor, and a neighbor has a place in Islam. In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, فلا يؤذي جاره, he should not harm his neighbor. And in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. That you worship Allah, you don't associate anyone with Him, and then parents, and then keeping the relations, and then وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Some of the scholars said this is the neighbor whose door is close to you. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ, the neighbor who is further down, even a couple of doors down, across the street, is still your neighbor. So above you, if you're in an apartment, below you, that's your neighbor. To your right, to your left, all of them are entitled to good behavior. The other tafsir says, الْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, that's the Muslim neighbor. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ, that is the non-Muslim neighbor. But either way, both of them are honored. And the closer, the more priority you get. In Sahih Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, Ya Rasulullah, inna li jarain. He said, O Prophet of Allah, I have two neighbors. فَلِأَيِّ أَيِّهُمَا أُهْدِي. She's saying, she's saying, so which of them should I give the gift to? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِلَىٰ أَقْرَبِهِمَا مِنْ كِبَابًا, to the ones who are, the door is closer to you. You start with that one. The one who, so that means the priority, the closer the neighbor, the more priority. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Abu Dharr, the companion radiallahu anhu, he gave him advice. قَالَ يَا أَبَا ذَرْ إِذَا طَبَخْتَ مَرَقَةً, if you cook maraqa, anything with some kind of sauce or gravy or something with it, فَأَكْثِرْ مَاءَهَا وَتَعَاهَدْ جِيرَانَكَ. So he said, increase its water, meaning increase its quantity and make sure you give your neighbors. And the scholar said, even if they're not in need, still give your neighbors, because that will increase love and affection and improve the relationship. So it's cake, fruit, anything, just to improve that relationship between you and your neighbors. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جمع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. So from this we can already deduce the importance of inviting our neighbors to Islam. And if we were to ask for a show of hands of how many people in this room have ever given da'wah and invited their neighbors to Islam, without asking that, but what do you imagine would be the number? You think one or two people in the room, or do you think 50% of people in the room? Like, we're not very conscious of this idea. It's not in the top priority that we need to call our neighbors to Islam. And what if on the Day of Judgment, your neighbor uses you as an excuse in front of Allah Azza wa Jal? What if they say, Ya Allah, I've been their neighbor for 15 years. They never once bothered to tell me about Islam. And there's so many ways, like if I am not able to go and physically sit down with them. One of the things about your neighbor is you know their address. You just need a different number. You know their zip code and everything. You can mail them material if it's that awkward or scary to sit with them. You can mail them material. And imagine if there was one non-Muslim here in America and he lived surrounded by Muslims. And they are always coming to him with cake, with brownies, with fruit, with gifts, with pamphlets, with material. And how many years do you think he would remain a non-Muslim? But that's why the early Muslims, they changed the world through their conduct. They didn't have websites, they didn't have du'at and da'wah training. They changed the entire world just through their manners and their conduct and their dealings. But with that, I'll conclude with this story that I personally heard yesterday from someone. And this is one Muslim who lives. He's a, we don't overpraise him in the sight of Allah, but a person of good manners and patience. And he is in Manville in Texas. And he said, he was showing me his property, and he was telling me how that country area, everybody did not welcome him, and nobody wanted him in that area. He said, my neighbor who's across the street came to me. The first time I ever met him, the first words he said to me, I don't like colored people. He said, this man proceeded for the next couple of years to make my life absolutely miserable. He said, there is not an organization or an entity or a government group or section that he did not call and complain to me about. He said, even if a tree falls on my property, he will immediately call and complain. And he said, he made my life so difficult. But he said, wallahi, I never once retaliated. And I never once even went to him and said, ya akhi, leave me alone. But he said, he was getting that from all the neighbors around him, but this guy especially. He said, but I never once retaliated or even spoke to him about what he's doing to me. And I would always make dua, ya Allah, either guide him to Islam or destroy him or make him move somewhere. He said, one day I'm passing and he sees me and he just calls me by my first name from a distance. I came to him. He said, listen, I've decided to move. I'm moving. And I want to sell you the house. He said, I don't want to list it publicly. And I want to sell it to you, and I don't want to sell it to anyone else. And so the man tells him, he said, I told him, I don't have the money right now, I don't have the funds. He said, I will sell it to you in installments. He said, I can't pay interest, it's in my religion. He said, with no interest. He said, why don't you list it? It's worth three times more. And this is the insane part of the story. Yani he's selling him the house for one third of the market value. He said, I'm telling him if you list it, you'll get three times more. He said, I don't want to list it, and I don't want to tell it to anyone but you. So he sold it to him. And now, of course, years later, the house is his and it's appreciated in value. And I kept asking him, but I understood what made the man yani lose his senses like that. It's his patience upon the harm, and Allah rewarded him by giving him the whole house for a third of the market price. A third of the market price. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. And to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa arzuqna itiba'ah. Wa arina al-batila batilan wa arzuqna ijtinabah. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt. وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت إنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. اللهم إنا نسألك عيشة نقية وميتة سوية ومردا غير مخز ولا فاضح. اللهم إنا نسألك جوامع الخير وفواتحه. اللهم اغفر لنا أجمعين. اللهم أبرم لأمة الإسلام أمرا رشدا يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. اللهم ارفع عن أمة الإسلام عن بلاد المسلمين القتل والفقر وردنا إليك ردا جميلا. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين. اللهم احقن دماءهم واحفظ أرواحهم. اللهم ارفع عنهم البلاء. اللهم ارفع عنهم البلاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم. رحمكم الله.